Welcome to Design Oracles. We are here to pontificate, evangelize, and educate you on residential interior design and architecture.
I'm Amity Worrell, interior designer of Amity Worrell & Company.
And I'm Diane Kett, architect of DK Studio and together partners at Amity Kett. All right. Hello. Today on this podcast, we are going to talk about when to lead and when to follow.
Very, very good subject in the design process. When do you rely on your professionals and when do you guide them towards your needs?
Right. So when does the homeowner lead and when does the architect or interior designer lead?
Yeah, this is one of my favorite subjects because it's important for everyone entering into this kind of process to understand just that. It is a process, right? You have the things that you think you want and need, and then there are the parameters of those things. Maybe it's the investment you're going to make is one of the frameworks that you're working within. Maybe it's the lot that you're working on. Maybe it's the codes of the city, or it's the size of your family, or whatever the kind of parameters you're working with. Having an understanding of those and communicating those is a very important part of those places where the teams can come together and like the client can say, these are the things that I need. This is the type of lifestyle I want to have. These are the members of my family and these are the design styles I like. And that is a way that the client is leading. And then they come to the professional, the architect or the interior designer, and they communicate their needs and their wants. And then there's the response to that, right, Diane?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So we kind of take what all that stuff you gave us and we'll come up with a design. And then sometimes it's interesting because people come with this whole drawn out floor plan and they stayed up till 2 a.m. and this is exactly what I want. And you look at it and it's really bad. It's got, you know, long hallways, not enough natural light, disconnection of, you know, living and kitchen area, or, you know, you just all these things that we inherently know and think about as someone who isn't in the design world and is just thinking, okay, I want this kind of living room. I want this kind of kitchen. And you just plop it down on this plan and then you give it to us. And if you think we're going to draw that, we are not, because we just, it hurts us too much. So the one thing that I take away from when I'm given a plan like that is then I say, okay, I understand they are wanting these specific elements, and then I take it and figure out how to make it work better. And also listening to what your priorities may have been. You know, I don't know how many times I remind people that was your number two thing that you really wanted and you are now giving it up. Are you sure you're okay with that? And then they kind of say, well, yeah, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I say, but it was your second thing you told me you had to have. And it's just my job to make sure you get it. I'm totally okay if you're willing to let it go. But I just really want to make sure.
Yeah, so that's an example of when you're making sure that you've got their back and you are being clear that you've heard them and then you're feeding back to them what they've told you. And maybe they have changed their mind.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just making sure that that's the case. So that's that lead and follow, that kind of dance thing. And I wrote a blog about it. And I started when I was thinking about this as kind of our process on the interior side. And I'm just going to read to you the first line of that, which was, knowing what you do not know in life is perhaps more important than knowing what you do know. Kind of a joke, being tongue in cheek, but it's basically what Diane just said about folks showing up with, here's what I want you to draw. Here's the design plan. This is, you know, and as long as they can understand that all that is a first step, an understanding of, okay, this clearly, like Diane says, is showing me what it is that you want to achieve and how you think you want to live. But it's not necessarily feasible or correct or the right way to go. And it's similar with our process on the interiors. It's very similar. Sometimes people will come to you with sort of a list, you know, treating you kind of like the waitress at the restaurant. Here's my order. This is my order. I would like, you know, potatoes on the side and dressing on the side. And I, you know, whatever it is, I want, these are the solutions that I've come to. I want a built-in on this wall. I want my kitchen rearranged in this way. And I want a door over here. Thanks very much. Please draw that up. And I think the important thing to communicate to them at that point is it's a process. And that is the starting phase of that process. And we're not here to take orders and implement the ideas you have in your head. That's not what you are should be paying for. That's not why you engage a professional. You engage a professional to kind of kick your ideas around and give you the knowledge of, okay, if we build in this wall, then you don't have room to walk down your hallway. So have you thought that through? No, because a lot of times people just don't understand scale and scope, and or maybe the cost of the rearranging of the kitchen the way they want to do it is north of the budget they want to spend. And so it's that, you know, okay, the lead for them is that their requests, their order, or that design plan they come to Diane with. The lead for you when you're leading is to explain to them why they don't want what they thought they wanted, and kind of work. You know, it's a team effort. When you say it's not.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we were recently working on a house with a lot of big windows, and the style they wanted was kind of a more traditional local vernacular, and which typically includes divided light windows. And so we did that, and they were just adamant that they did not want them. I tried everything I could to explain why we needed it. It really helped with the scale. And so we ended up taking them out. I gave up.
Sometimes you get defeated.
I was defeated. They then went and met with their interior designer, who then said, all the images you really like have these divided light windows in the background. Think of it if it wasn't going to be. Here's what those would look like. Oh, we don't like that.
Interesting.
So the interior designer actually convinced them because of the inside and what it was going to look like from there and the furniture they wanted and things like that, and showing them inspiration images. So they came to me at the meeting and said, we want to put divided light back in. And I said, just a second, let me pick myself up off the floor.
So, give me a minute. Yeah, it's so interesting.
We went back with it, and they said, we know, we know. So sometimes you do have to go back and think about it or get a different perspective.
Yeah, you can't rush it. It's definitely
a
process.
And it does take the whole design team.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes also the builder helps with that too. So sometimes when we're making decisions on site, been sometimes where one person will be adamant that they like something and no one else standing there agrees. And I just think if no one else agrees with you, you really ought to let it go. Because if you've got two designers, two architects, the builder, and, you know, your spouse standing there not agreeing with you, I kind of feel like you need to let it go.
Totally.
And realize, well, it's not a good decision.
I think it's a good point that you bring up about, it just reminds me of, about, you know, they go to the interior designer and the interior designer reminds them of what they probably shared with her that they wanted, and kind of shows them from a different angle, from a different perspective, basically why they want what you told them they already wanted. And all you're doing is repeating back to them what they told you they wanted. And it's this weird, you know, kind of a dance and a push-pull thing. But if they understand that you have their back, then eventually they'll come around. And so I love that, because, you know, there's also that moment when a lot of times when we're working with a client and they're like a dog with a bone about an idea that they just cannot let go. And it's the leading idea for the project, and everyone else on the team has moved past it weeks ago, but they just keep circling and circling and circling that particular idea. And sometimes it's as simple as it's a tile they saw in a photo, and that is, you know, that's the photo that started this whole process, the face that launched 1,000 ships. This is it. This is what they want. And everyone else knows that whether that's the wrong thing for the vernacular of the home or for the investment they want to make, or difficult to install. Sometimes it's even the builder standing there saying, we just can't do it. It changes this part of the design, or whatever it is. You know, you do get a little fatigued sometimes explaining to people, because I do sometimes feel like, hi, welcome to the interior design process. I'm here to kill your dreams. You know, I kind of feel like, let me tell you no about the first 16 things that you want, and then we'll say yes about the others. So at times I will sometimes say to one of, you know, my designers, let it go, because they're going to come back around to the right decision along the way, whether it's the builder that's going to come back with the number. And when they see that number, then they're really going to know that cost number, whether or not they want it. And sometimes they do. And I'm surprised, and it changes some other designs, and we spiral out from that and may not be the ultimate thing I wanted. But in the end, you know, it's to chew the meat, spit out the bone. If you start with an idea and you start down that process, and some of the bad ideas go away and some and better ideas come in, great. If there's something that people want enough, then you kind of just have to pivot. But everybody has to understand that the whole design has to pivot, not just, you know, maybe that's not the vernacular they want the house to be in anymore, if that's the type of window they're opposed to. So it's just interesting, because it's what, like Diane said, it's definitely a team effort to kind of figure out, you know, where we land. And you know, at one point, maybe it's the interior designer leading, then it's the architect. And then honestly, in the end, it kind of ends up being the builder if you can't.
Yeah, right.
I mean, don't we all know those builders who try to design the project themselves after?
Well, there's also the builders that say, you know, they designed it this way, so I really feel like we ought to follow that, because
it's true.
They've been with you through this process. So there's also great supportive builders out there. Yeah, there's also, you know, I feel like you go through that on selections. You and I have a mutual client right now where you've been going through a lot of finished selections and visiting multiple showrooms and really working hard at circling around a dance of a lot of different, you know, selections.
Yeah, so this client has a very strong idea of what the aesthetic of the house how she wants it to feel and look, and it's very nuanced and important to her, and it's important to all of us, and so we're trying to understand it. And I don't think that clients always have the language to know how to explain to you what they want. They have to go into the field and touch and feel and go on field trips and sit in tubs and look at sinks and Then they finally, this is a very fun process. They finally land on one thing, right? Maybe it's the kitchen faucet. Like, we've been struggling and circling and going around, and they can't quite communicate to us what it is about this image that they love, or what it is about this idea that they love, but they know they want it somewhere. They want that, whatever that image or idea, the feeling it gives them is the feeling they're going for. That's what they want. And then, so you show them some examples and maybe even the literal thing that's in the photo. You'll show them and they go, oh, I don't like that, because it's not, you know, it's what is in, it's in their head and it's in their heart, it's in their body, and you got to like kind of pull it out. So with this particular client, it kind of is a leading on the kitchen faucet. Like, okay, everything is going to be designed from that moment, that thing, because we landed that feeling that she was trying to get to was represented there. And it was like a click for all of us. The minute we saw, oh, that's what you mean. You know, it was a bridge faucet with a separate pull handle, and the finish on it was just so, and the gauge of the metal. And I got it. I got what she was trying to go for. So it's that, you know, we were kind of following her and she was leading. And then now, because I have an understanding, I've got a hook in, we can lead further. We can say, okay, let's go back to those first finishes we looked at, and here's why they're right. And so it's really a fun process, and it's not a quick fix, and it's not following the fashion of the day. It's an organic process of kind of understanding what the client wants and how to give it to them.
And then on that, sometimes it's really hard with cost and budget expectations. So you have someone come and say, I want to spend a certain amount of money. And I just had this conversation yesterday with a possible new client, thinking about, they had a house with the plumbing leak destroyed it. And it's a pretty funky floor plan, pretty funky house. And she was thinking, I just want to tear it down and build a new house. And I said, well, what is your budget? And I said, that is not going to get you there. And she kept wanting me to tell her it would. She said, she just kept asking me different questions. I said, no, we cannot get there. I said, I don't want to start off this way and lie to you and go design a great big house and you can't afford it. And then once we kind of came around, then we started talking about remodel and addition. And I said, now I think you can get to your budget and we can make this funky house work a whole lot better. We've got a foundation, we've got a roof, we've got, you know, structure, so we can work within all this stuff and add on and rearrange the way the spaces flow and work and relate to your yard, because it had no relation to the yard. And the streetscape is hideous. I said, we can definitely fix that. We can fix the front door. So, you know, also sometimes you think you want to do all this and you want to, this is how much money you have. And so you're just going to find a way to do it. But in this day in life, it's just not possible.
Yeah, for sure. I think that is a huge part of it, and is figuring out what is possible. And I think sometimes clients don't understand. Oh, you know, we recently I had a conversation with a client who similarly was kind of struggling with wanting an addition, but didn't really know she wanted an addition and needed a larger space. And I said, well, we can just tear this back wall out and add, you know, 3 feet and connect it to the garage apartment. There's only a breezeway in between, and it doesn't have to be that. That can be created and made into interior space. And it was, for her, mind blown. She couldn't believe that that was possible. So sometimes it just takes being told that, just being told, yes, that's possible, you know, and within your budget, that is possible. This over here might not be. We can't add on in this direction, and here's why. But these things are possible. But you don't always know that as someone who doesn't work in this industry or have an understanding of how, you know, construction is done. So letting your professional, whoever, that your architect, your interior designer, kind of lead in that aspect of it. Ask for what you want. Dream big. And then we'll tell you no or yes or yes, but, which is, I think, the big thing is kind of there's always a yes, but.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's, you know, you can tear down, but you can't for this number, you can add on. And I like that you mentioned that you gave her the assurance, we can make this house work. And that's really all she probably needed to hear to understand and move forward.
Okay, so talking about scope creep, when you're working on a project, sometimes they'll say, okay, we want 3,000 square feet, we want a living room, a game room, and, you know, 3 bedrooms and all that stuff. And then next thing you know, they say, you know what, I really want to add a game room with a billiard table, and I'm going to add a pool now, and I also want a big outdoor kitchen. And so there's all this scope creep, but we have this original budget set that we were aiming for, and so it's very difficult to try and rein people back in, because like you said, you're killing their dreams. So a lot of times I can say, well, we can design it and price it, but it's probably not going to fall within your budget.
We sound like a load of fun, Diane. We're just killing people's dreams left and right. No, it's so true. And yes, scope creep is one of the pitfalls, one of the things to watch out for. I think confusion of who does what on a project is another thing, you know, kind of an understanding of what is the architect's role, what is the interior designer's role, and what is the communication going to be like. Those are usually easier things to get through. The scope creep is typically the client leading that, I would say. I don't know if that's, I mean, it's not, we're usually not, we're usually on the design team being more conservative and careful, because we're trying to guard and protect the client's budget and their investment that they want to make. But there are times, you know, I've had clients say, you know, stop doing that. I want to dream for a little bit. I want to like push the parameters of what's possible and then pull back. And so as long as we have that conversation, I'm fine all day to dream big and make the big sweeping decisions and add scope. It's not that it's, you know, the worst thing that can happen. It's just our job to kind of guide that process and make sure you understand that's what's happening. Because there are, you know, it would be malpractice of us to not at least let you know what's going on with that. So guaranteeing, you know, any part of the process is not possible for us. It's a creative process. It's taking the ideas, putting them out into the world, trying them on, pricing them out, seeing if they work. And then, you know, the people are coming to us for ideas, but they're also coming to us for managing those ideas and expectations, making those connections, me bringing a client to Diane or Diane bringing a client to me. There's a huge value in that, that, you know, bringing all the right leaders onto the team and making those connections. It's the value is really huge in that too, is kind of understanding we may not have all the answers. Diane may not have all the answers. I might not have the answers, but we're going to know somebody who does, and we're going to know who to ask. So that's an important thing, managing their budgets, making sure that they align with real world costs, because we don't want people to be frustrated. We want to be able to move things forward. We like to say we like to start projects, but we also like to finish them. And that's a big one. We want to set folks up early to understand costs. So, and understanding time too is another thing. I think as we're talking about the who leads and who follows, all of us are at the behest of, you know, whether it's the city you work in or the builder's time frame. When you say, Diane, there's like push and pull, and the leader on that is oftentimes the builder.
Yeah, right. So during construction, sometimes we are at the mercy of city officials and time, but definitely the builder is usually helping through the construction. But then, I mean, unfortunately, sometimes they have to deliver bad news that, you know, something's arriving much later than we anticipated. And so trying to stay on a good schedule. And I will say that every builder wants to get it done as fast as they can. For some reason, there's this misconception out there that builders want to keep on staying on your job site forever. They don't. They want to get it built as fast as they can and get out. They actually make a bigger profit that way than for it to lag on forever and ever and ever.
I 100% agree with that. I don't like that whatever's out in the ether about villainizing the builder. It's usually the builder wants to get in and out faster than you want them to get in and out. Sometimes we have to say, okay, slow down. You know, that's their goal. And, you know, a good team's going to all have that same goal. We all want what you want. We all want it to move forward at the right pace. And, you know, there's too fast, too slow, and then perfect in the middle, kind of like, you know, the three bears.
Yeah.
Goldilocks.
And then we'll have people ask, say, okay, I really need to move in by next summer in August. And so then we kind of have to work backwards from there. Okay, that means we need to have a design decision on your house that we're moving forward by this day. And sometimes it's a really tight time frame, and it can be really hard. You have to be ready to move really quick with decisions, and sometimes people want to think about them. So
yeah, I think building, that's a very good point, because I think you have to know the personality of the client and build in that decision-making time frame. You need to give some people some time to mull some things over, and they'll feel pressured if they can't. And then sometimes you have to go backwards and redesign. But, you know, sometimes it's worth it, you know, to go ahead and just move forward and get the price and be practical and understand that there may be a little bit of redesign or tweaking that goes into landing it where it needs to be. But, you know, and that's part of it, is just managing all the phases of that. You know, one thing I want to bring up too, when Diane brought up time frame, is I think of the time frame for furnishing a house. People don't understand of that. You know, it's not something Diane deals with as much, but on the interior side, people hear, okay, we'll be finished in quotes with your project on such date. And that does not mean that it will also be furnished. That's the construction piece of it oftentimes. Or so the way that works is you start that process kind of at the same time that you start making the selections on the finish out of the house, after you've gone through the architectural phase, you know, and you've gotten kind of numbers back from a builder. You start that furniture process if that's something you're doing. And there's a lot of lead times on those things as well. So that, you know, it's the process, not the product. That's what we sell. We sell a process and not the product. So, for instance, as interior designers, we make the selections. We use trade vendors to give our client the best value and the best quality for that value, for that investment. But we are not, you know, we don't have a furniture shop or a magic warehouse where we can wave our wand and that perfect piece of furniture comes out. So there's patience involved. And I think that is a big frustration for people if they don't know early, if you don't have that conversation early about, you know, there's this one process of building, and then there's the process of furnishings, and they go in different directions and at different time frames. So I think that's an important thing for you to allow your expert to lead on.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if that sofa you really like is going to take 6 months, I'd really wait for it instead of trying to get
it. I would wait for it too. Upholstered furniture is important. Anything else on your list there, Diane?
No, I think that about covers when to lead and when to follow.
When to lead and when to follow. Okay, great.
All right.
Thank you for your time today.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to Design Oracles with Amity Worrell, owner of Amity Worrell & Company, and Diane Kett, owner of DK Studio, and together, partners at Amity Kett.